My name is Nate Winkleck, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey.
Let's see. My sobriety date is February 4th of 2025. I have a sponsor. He's here in this room. I work the steps to the best of my ability. I have not completed. I would say I have not completed all my amends, and I don't always do everything perfectly, but I do my best. Sometimes. I don't know. I'm trying. I'm still trying. I'm still always trying. All right, so my guess relevant to drinking, so I'm the oldest of five siblings. I'm from Pennsylvania originally, and I kind of always saw myself as like the responsible, goody two shoes guy, like honest and integrity and stuff like that. I come from a very Christian household, and it was a huge part of like my childhood and my teenage years, my identity. Because of that, my parents kept me out of public school until like fourth grade, which I thought was a big deal. And I remember like I went to school and some kid said, "Oh my God." And I was like, "Hey, don't take God's name in vain." And they were like, "What the fuck are you talking about, you freak?" And I was like, I don't know. I felt crazy, right? And like that trend continued on through middle school and through high school. I felt like I was behind. I felt like I just didn't see things the way everyone else did. And like I really struggled because I had this very like strong moral idea that was kept being like pushed in my head, and it just didn't seem like what everybody else was doing. And so that was weird. On top of that, my next youngest brother, he started like getting high and like skipping school and stealing in general, and fucking just, he was a bad kid from like age 12, right? So I always kind of thought of myself as the the mature and like cool one and special, and I do everything right, which isn't really realistic. It's not really a good way, I don't think, to go about life. It's not humble. But that was my identity. Let's see. Start drinking normally in high school. I don't know. Some people talk about like the lights coming on the first time they drank. I think for me, I was scared. I was excited. I felt fucked up because I knew I was lying about it. Like I knew that was palpable. I remember that constantly in high school. Whenever I like told my parents, "Oh yeah, I'm going to my buddy's house and it's a sleepover," and I was actually going somewhere else or whatever, just lying, I like felt it really strongly. But gotta push that aside and keep it moving. I remember we drank Blue Wave vodka. It was blueberry vodka. My buddy had seen his brother drinking, and his brother gave him a double shot, and we thought it was a normal shot. So we're all sitting there and we're like, "All right, we're gonna like start with one," and then we like do one, and we're like, hanging out, like let's do two. And then all of a sudden everybody's wasted. Like everybody's fucked up. My buddy did homework for some reason. I remember trying to throw a dart at the wall and it landed like down there. And I ate popcorn and candy corn that night, and then I threw up. And for the next number of years, whenever I went to movie theaters and like smelled popcorn, I'd be like, it would gross me out. But I got over that too. let's see. I'm just got to move it past this stuff. So with that like identity crisis, with that Christian thing, I had a neighbor. He was a science teacher, and he was my boss. I started working for him when I was 14. He saw the world completely opposite the way my mom did, my parents did, right? He was like, do what you want as long as you can get away with it. Handle your responsibilities. The truth is not in the Bible, and it's definitely not God. It's science. It's whatever you can prove and whatever you can get away with, whatever you can do, you should do. And he was an alcoholic, and he was the man. I thought he was so organized, and he was so intelligent, and he did do a really good job with like being a functional alcoholic. His relationship with his wife and his daughters broke down. That wasn't very good. But I really looked up to this guy, and I thought, like, you know, as I got older, and I wanted to be more like him, and started drinking more, I sort of thought I could like balance the way that, I don't know. I was like, I'll take all these good attributes, but then I'll also like keep my morality and like my spirituality. And like, I can sort of balance all this, right? Like I'll figure it out. Like, alcohol, it was awesome. Like, it was exciting. It was, I don't know. It was a thing that made, it felt like one of those things that, like, all those other people knew about that I didn't know about. It wasn't, like, sanctioned in my culture where I was from. And then when I was involved in it, when I partook, I was like, I'm in, I'm with people. This is what cool people do. And certain point comes along, I'm about maybe 19 or 20. I've been going to this church my whole life, and the pastor of the church gets sick. He gets cancer, very aggressive cancer, kind of out of nowhere. The church kind of goes into like this frenzy, and people think he's going to be healed, and like there's all this drama, and you know, I don't know, they're holding like extra prayer meetings, and my mom is very into it. She's like, he's gonna be healed, I had a dream, and this person's like, I opened up to this page in the Bible and it said this, and da da da. So I'm there, you know, I'm 19, I'm 20, I'm in college, I'm really sick of living these two different lives of all this contradiction, between like doing what I want and doing what the church wants, and wanting to believe in God and wanting to feel that thing, but also like not agreeing with so many of the tenets of the religion, and just things just weren't adding up. And I was just sick of it. And I honestly was sick of, I was sick of feeling like I wasn't consistent. I was sick of feeling like I wasn't like just one thing, like I wasn't who I wanted to be. I don't know. It felt fucked up. And so when this dude, when my pastor got sick and the people thought he was going to be healed, I looked at it as like an opportunity. I don't know if it was an opportunity, but I was like, all right, God, like they say you can do all this magical stuff. They say all this stuff happened. They say miracles still happen, whatever. Like, if you're so all that, then like heal this guy. Like I'll buy in. Like I'll do what you want. I'll do what all these people around me say I should do. I'll totally give myself over to you if this miracle happens. But if it doesn't happen, then like I'm done. And I even like I was like telling people that too. And I told my boss that. And he would typically make fun of me for my religious stuff, but he was actually like, he was like, all right, buddy, like, okay. Anyway, the pastor ends up dying, when the pastor died, my mom had maybe like the second of her kind of bipolar disorder, and she kind of had like a manic break and did some stuff that was pretty destructive to the kind of the community, that church community. And I was trying to like take care of her and manage her feelings, manage her emotions. So she locked herself in the church for like 5 days, and I stayed there with her. And I don't know, that was like a really shitty time. Like, I just felt like my whole world as I knew it broke down. But, you know, like I told you guys, you know, I mean, it was depressing. I was like, okay, this is how life is, but fine. Like, that's cool, because I am going to do what I want to do now. And I'm going to go and, like, I'm going to drink the way I want to drink. I'm going to, I think I was more conservative with, like, sexuality. And I was like, I'm going to fuck who I want. I'm just going to do what I want, you know, and I'm going to figure it out on my own. You know, in the following year or two, my family, my parents, and my younger siblings moved from Pennsylvania to California. I moved in with some family friends, who their dad was an alcoholic. Their house was the party house. It was the same house with the Blue Wave when I was in high school. And I moved in with them, and I was just like, I remember telling somebody that I was close to, an adult I was close to at the time, like a counselor, that like it kind of had started to feel like the color drained out of life, because I didn't believe in God anymore. I didn't see like the beauty behind things. I didn't see hope. I didn't see like redemption. I don't know. I used to believe that like everybody had potential and that God had a plan and he was going to like fix everything. And I was supposed to be a part of it. And I just stopped feeling that. And when I stopped feeling that way, a lot of the meaning like came out of life. It just, you know. But what I did have was alcohol. And alcohol allowed me to get to a similar place. Like the way that I felt as a kid and as a teenager when I was in my youth group, or when I was at church in a church service, and we were all together and we all like believed in something, right? There was this unified energy. And it's, I mean, if you guys have been around AA for a little bit, you know it's a beautiful thing to be part of something together with other people, with other human beings. I think it's absolutely critical for life. And I got that through alcohol. Like, alcohol let me go into this, like, other space with people where, like, I felt like, I don't know, where, like, I just felt like people could just be who they were, and like, I don't know, like shit was just more relaxed, and like everybody's funnier, and like, I don't know, like I can be vulnerable with you, you can be vulnerable with me, and then all of a sudden, like I got a new friend, right? There's other things, there's the sexual romantic aspect of it. It made me more confident with girls and more, you know, I felt like it gave me like opportunities where like, yeah, it makes, alcohol makes people horny. I don't know if you guys knew that, but it does. And I like that too, for sure. So So it was working. At that time, it was working for that. It was giving me connection. And I really, my whole life centered around it. I I remember I chose business. I chose the degree I chose. I almost switched to engineering once, and then I actually changed my major to pharmaceutical product development, like chemistry. And then like a week later, I switched it back because I realized it's going to be so much more work. And I just want to have the workload that allows me to go to work and party and just keep my lifestyle the way I want it. I guess I'm in my senior year of college. I'm 23, 24. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm drinking pretty heavily, 3-4 days a week probably. A really close friend was like, he'd been smoking weed for a while and I like wasn't really into it. And I just started smoking weed and I was like, oh, holy shit. Like weed is like alcohol without the hangover. Like this is perfect. This is awesome. So I kind of switched my main drug to weed, and I was listening to these guys, you know, Joe Rogan, right? I was listening to Joe Rogan podcast, and I was like, dude, this guy fucking smokes weed, and he's the man. Like, he does all this stuff. He's super disciplined. Obviously, it's spiritual, and it's good for you, and whatever. And so I started, like, I would smoke in the morning before class, and I would do, like, an hour and a half of yoga, just, like all stone, and, like, I thought it was making me better. It turns out I had the same teacher for 4 classes. I had him twice in junior year and then twice in senior year. I used to go to his classes. He's an excellent teacher. Would take notes. He would test on exactly what was in the notes. He was like the best professor I ever had. And I thought I had it figured out with him. And I remember going to a midterm. And like, not only could I not answer the questions, but I didn't even like recognize the content of the questions. Like, I had been in class, I had been taking notes. I was doing what I thought was my part, and I was just shocked. I was shocked that I was doing that badly, that things were like coming apart. I was like, that's impossible, right? Remember, my hero is this guy who can just like do it all. He can drink, he drinks, and he also gets all his shit done. He's a teacher, he has a business, and I just thought I was that dude too. And it turns out that, you know, when you smoke weed in the morning before class, you can't remember anything from class. I was shocked and really scared about that. My college passed me. I don't think I deserve my degree. Honestly, I did so poorly my last semester, but I think I paid for it and handed in junk, and the professors, it's not that good of a school, and they said, all right, you know, here's your degree. I think that's literally how it went. I mean, truly. And so I'm in Pennsylvania at the time. It's 2018. I am still working for the landscaper who I started working for when I was 14 years old. I graduated. I'm living at this apartment with my buddies, and everybody's getting jobs. They're getting corporate jobs, you know? And so I'm like, all right, sweet. I'm going to get a job. That's what you're supposed to do once you graduate college. I just need to have a clean piss test, right? And I have friends who are just like taking a break. They're just stopping. They're like, yeah, I'm just gonna stop for a couple months. I'm gonna focus on finding a job, pass an interview, blah, blah, blah. And then I'll go back to my work, right? Or go back to, you know, getting high, drinking, whatever, just doing, living life the way they wanted. And I was like, all right, cool. I can do that. And I should do that. That's what I should do. I should lock in and get a job. And it turns out I couldn't. And that's like, you know, I've
I mean, just to go a little bit in the future, since that time, I got sober a couple months later, and I've been in and out of AA for the past 6 years, and I've told myself lies to justify drinking again. And that period of life is one of the strongest examples and the strongest proofs, the most simple proofs of when I had, like, sufficient desire to stop, I realized I couldn't. And I had a really strong reason, and I had all the character that I thought I had, and still, like, I just couldn't sustain emotionally without this habit that I had created. I didn't know how. I didn't know how to sleep without it and how to feel okay. So yeah, I was pretty shocked when that happened. I was pretty depressed. I did one of the things it says in the book. I took on more exercise. I figured I would replace one addiction with another, so I joined this really intense gym, and I was like, I'm just going to go to the gym every day and get the endorphins every day. I'll be good. And I'm jogging home like a week after I joined that gym, and a car comes by, and I jump out of the road, and I twist my ankle, and I was like, ah, like, I'm fucked. Like, my gym plan is fucked. I'm, like, hobbling home, just knowing, like, I'm gonna get high. And I was just disappointed and surprised. So there was at the time I was considering buying that landscaping company, and there was a friend that I knew from church and my dad set me up with. He was a guy we used to go to church with, and he was a successful businessman. He started a recycling company in the 80s and made a bunch of money. So I really looked up to this guy because he's a successful businessman, you know. And as we meet, he and I, and we're talking about the ins and outs of the business, and we start to get to know each other, and I start to tell him about my problems with women and with my sexual conduct, that, you know, shit that I was doing that I felt guilty about, that that I didn't know how to fix. He was like, all right, well, you know, why don't you maybe make a list? And I was like, oh, all right. And he, like, he gave me some AA type advice, some advice based on the steps. And then eventually he told me about, you know, we started talking about drugs and drinking. And he told me about his use, and I was shocked, because to me, he was just a good Christian guy who was a businessman, and, like, you know, I knew him as a kid, right? Meanwhile, he tells me that he occasionally would, like, get really fucked up and then go to Philly and just, like, buy crack and do crack. And I was like, all right, like, you're from the burbs. Yeah, I was like, this dude, like, this is just, like, a guy from the burbs, and he would, like, go out to Philly and get some crack. I don't know. I was like, cool. You know, I'm more of an adult now. I guess I know that more people do stuff like that sometimes. But at the time, I was pretty shocked. So this guy earned my trust, like, you know, like we do, right? He earned my trust. He told me about his drinking and using. I remember telling him, like, I was talking about the different drugs I've tried and all these different things. And he was like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I told him, like, I don't, you know, I do these things because I have a lust for life. And he said, yeah, exactly. And I was like, what? Like, what do you, I don't know. It was interesting. But that guy suggested I go actually to Marijuana Anonymous meetings is where I started. So I did. And I was like, this is weird. And it was a real weird experience. My brain was still all foggy, and I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know what the point was or what the intention was, but I met some really nice people and met some people who hadn't smoked weed in, you know, a couple months, or this guy, like, a year and a half. I was like, oh shit. And they're sharing with each other about how that's done. And I was like, okay. And I found a new power in my life. And then, you know, like a month or so later, all of a sudden, like, actual sobriety kind of took hold. And I'm going to a meeting, like, almost every day. And that first year and a half, 2019 to early 2020, it was probably, like, 14 or 15 months. It was awesome. I mean, I felt like I was in, like, a cave. Like, I was alone, and I was stuck, and I was so shocked that I was stuck. Like, I just couldn't comprehend that, like, this habit would stall my life, like, stop my life. Not even stop my life, and I was convinced that, like, there's no forward, or there's no even, like, way to the left or to the right. Like, I feel like I have to keep doing this. It's the only thing I know. But obviously it's fucking everything up, and, like, I'm just going to be a loser and a failure. And I don't know. And then, all of a sudden I'm out of the cave, and, like, there's a bunch of people that come together to help each other stay sober. Like, it exists. It's wild that Alcoholics Anonymous even exists at all. We take it for granted. I take it for granted all the time. But when I think back to that experience, I'm seeing people who I, like, knew from high school. I knew of them, and they were, like, the bad kids, and I didn't, like, whatever. Like, I didn't really like them. They didn't like me, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, I see them, and they're, like, sharing in a meeting on, like, heart level, and I'm like, holy shit, dude, I'm just like you, just like me, like, and we're buddies. And, like, I was shocked, and it was really a beautiful gift. And I think I didn't take, you know, maybe the first step seriously, or maybe even, like, the third step. Like, I kind of felt, and this is kind of a theme of my relapses, I told a friend, oh, and I did start working steps, by the way. And I did a pretty thorough fourth step. I did a fifth step. Fifth step was amazing. I made amends. I talked to somebody I thought I would never talk to. I drove to New York City, 2 hours, most nervous day of probably my entire life. I'm sweating, horrified. I was like, this girl's going to sue me. I'm going to end up in jail. No, you know, she really appreciated my apology and my owning up to what I'd done. And, and then I like, walked around that neighborhood I was in. I think I ended up in Washington Square Park, so whatever neighborhood that is. But I remember walking around that neighborhood for a couple of hours after that and just feeling, like, so free and so happy. So, you know, I know what they're talking about when they say that. I've had that experience before, and I think I need to have that experience more. I don't know. I think there are amends that I owe. I don't know, but I think there are. Let me check my time here. So I took it for granted, and I thought that I could figure out and take what I learned here and also drink. Like, why not? Because, again, like, I'm like that. I'm smart. Like, I'm like that dude. I'm like my boss. I don't know. And I'm young, and I swear that I have more fortitude than the average person. Like, I really believed that. Maybe I still believe that. Actually, I don't think I believe that anymore. let's see. So I had made a plan to move to California to catch up with my family because they've been here for a few years at that point. And I'm sober. I'm living with some family friends that we used to go to church with, and they're just like such great, beautiful people. They really showed me so much love, and I thought, okay, I'll move. You know, it's time to move to California. I've been sober for 9 months or whatever. Like, it's a good time to move. So I make this plan to move to San Luis Obispo. My youngest brother was going to school there at the time. And another brother of ours was going to move in as well. And at the time, my feeling was that everything was pretty decent. The economy was pretty good. I was like, all right, I'll get a job. You know, I have this finance degree. I'll get a job at a bank, or I'll get a job, maybe I'll get an entry-level position working for wealth management, somebody in SLO. Like, I was just like, it's going to be all good. So I make this plan in around Thanksgiving 2019, and it was going to be for the next summer, and then, March 2020, COVID happens. And I didn't want to go to Zoom meetings. I just didn't want to go. I was like, no. I love the feeling of being in person meetings. So I was like, no, I don't want to. And I guess, I don't know. Maybe I thought it was only going to last a couple weeks or whatever. But I didn't want to. I also had huge fear, massive fear about moving from my hometown to a completely new place in the middle of a pandemic. And I had a reservation. I had told my best friend that I would do shrooms with him because shrooms are spiritual and our program is spiritual. Therefore, they don't counteract each other. They don't cross each other out, right? It's spiritual. Even though, I talked to my sponsor about it and he had done, everything in the book, and he was like, you want to have a spiritual experience? You want to have a psychedelic experience? He's like, learn how to meditate. Meditate every day. Like, you want it? You're an alcoholic. Do it the way that we do it. Because that other way isn't going to work for you. It's not safe for you. And I just didn't believe it. It's not that I didn't believe him. I think deep down I probably did believe him. But I was like, nah, dude, I want to do the fun way. Like, I don't know. And so because I told my friend I would do shrooms with him, and because I hadn't been to a meeting in, a month and a half or whatever, when I was at his house and he was drinking Bud Light, I was like, hey man, can I have one of those? And he was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. And then it wasn't fine. Like, it was bad. It was shitty. I mean, the world was falling apart, and it felt like the world was ending. My world was ending. I was moving, practically to a different country with no plan. the economy, all that. And I was just mortified, and I had my job. I was still doing landscaping, and I would just I would just get high. I would just smoke all day. I left that house, that family that I was living with, just like bounced between different friends' houses, living out of my car. And I was just terrified. Like, I just blow shit up in fear. And it was bad. I did some bad stuff. I gave my cousin, who was a year sober at the time, I gave him a cigarette with Coke on it. Like, fucking dick. I don't know. I just did some shitty things. I fucked up my buddy's wedding party, like his wedding reception, and then I moved here. And like I was saying, I think, I don't know. I want to talk about relapse because I have a lot of relapse experience. Maybe I haven't figured it out yet, but I don't know. my mindset became, now I know where AA is. So when shit gets bad, I'll pull the parachute, I'll pull the ripcord, you know? But I'm 25. Now it's a bit later. I live in St. Louis. I'm working in a restaurant. It's like fun drinking again. It's COVID. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I was just on a journey, and I would get sober for a few months, and then I would go back out because I wanted to be closer to my coworkers, and I wanted to be, you know, I was like, all right, I'm going to be like a bar person. I'm going to be a bartender. I'm going to be a server. Like, those people are cool. And like, that was where I got my sense of identity and community, right? Like, this community thing I keep going back to, it matters a lot to me. I think it matters a lot to all of us. And yeah, it's just back and forth, 3 months sober, 6-9 months drinking, partying downtown slow, sober, da, da, da. And just consistently like, just like a loser, you know, cheated on a girl I really, really loved, and then cheated on my next girlfriend who I also really loved, and fucking, you know, didn't save any money, didn't get anywhere, right? Borrow money from my brother, like, just, I don't know, just like a piece of shit, and like, confidence waning. And I, you know, whatever, all the way back to the beginning of the story, like, my personality, I have a very self-deprecating personality, like, from the religious thing, I think. I don't know. I have a hard time giving myself credit. I think I'm sober today. I think I'm sober today because a group of people in SLOW, like a group of men who I knew for years, who like always welcomed me back with open arms. And I wouldn't go right back. I always respect people who drink and then come back like a couple days later, or like a week later. Like, you know, if you do that, you really at least have the first step figured out, the first couple steps. But me, I would drink and then I would be like, I'm going to figure out a different way. Like, I'm going to try something else. I will solve this. I'll use a different approach, different method, whatever it is. And like, that just hasn't worked. Like, this is what, like, this works. Like, I stay sober for consistent periods of time when I'm involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. When I'm not, I don't. The longest I stayed sober was a dry January with all my bar friends, and I was like, we should do this. We should do this twice a year. Like, this is what we need. But it's like, you can't, that's not, I don't know, maybe they can do that, you know, but I can anyway. But yeah, I'm sober today. You know, I'm sober today because AA, there are people who keep AA alive, because AA exists, because it exists in San Luis Obispo, because of individuals, because of a couple individuals who some of those individuals are in this room, and they you know, they gave a fuck in like a real way. They continued to reach out. They checked in on me here and there when I was out, I wasn't doing good. And I think my sobriety, I think you've heard me say in different ways throughout the share, like, I have worked the steps. I've worked a lot of fourth steps, a lot of fifth steps. I think they're fun. Actually, I don't think the fourth step is fun. I think the fifth step is good. I really like it. I've had nice experiences with it. I think it's sweet. But, you know, my amends, I haven't looked at my amends list in a while. My inventory, taking my daily inventory, waivers, service work and 12-step work, like, I don't know. I think there are times when I find it very easy, very intuitive, and then, like, more recently, like, I got a new job, which is also just to the credit of AA. I got this guy from the program gave me a job. It's a really cool job. I'm building cabinets and learning woodworking and stuff. Like, it's sick. I haven't been excited about a job in a while. And Alcoholics Anonymous gave me that. And that's another thing I just have to be grateful for. But I'm trying to, like, you know, like, God too. Like, I still don't know. I don't know what's up with God. I read Bill's story the other day, and he really, like, Bill, I actually was happy to see that Bill kind of is like me, like, or I'm, I guess, like him. Like, he really, like, has a lot of mixed feelings about this whole God thing too, and he's like, okay, maybe God, like, set the universe in motion, but does he actually love us? Like, I don't know about all that. And then his friend is just like, no, you have to get God. And he's like, okay, I guess I have to get God. And then he just gets God. That hasn't happened to me. That happens to me sometimes. Sometimes I get that feeling. Consistently, I believe that the highest power in my life is this body, right? Alcoholics Anonymous exists in history. We're part of it. We all get a piece of it. We all own a piece of it. We give it to each other. We share it. And that's how it stays vital and stays alive. That's amazing. That's fucking amazing. Nothing else. There's nothing else in society that I know of that's really like AA. Like, maybe there are, but, like, the financial structure, like, we really do this the way it's set up, with the right balance of some organization, but not a lot. And it's about personal relationships and about some responsibility. And I don't know. I think it's a miracle that it exists in American society. It is a miracle. And I hold on to that. And I want the God. I want the deeper God, too. I do. And I try different stuff, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I'm going to get the elusive 18-month chip in, like, 10 days, hopefully, you know, probably, I think. I've told you guys, like, what I know, right? I know that there's this thing, the last page of the book talks about the fellowship of the Spirit. And my sponsor pointed out to me once that there's AA and there's also the fellowship of the Spirit. And I believe that. Like, I believe that there are people in the world, not even just in Alcoholics Anonymous, but people, like, in your local government office, in your local church, your aunt, or whoever. There are people who, like have figured out that, like, living beyond yourself, like, living for others is the right way to live. And like, they get it. They have a sense of, like, the unity of all of us, and we're all in this thing together, and like, I don't know, they have a spiritual sense. And I hope the next time, I do this, I have a stronger sense of that. That's really, truly what I want. I believe I can find that in AA. I've seen people find it. I want to find it. I want to get closer to it. That's where I'm at. So thank you guys for listening.
Thanks.
Yeah.